Now, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to the passage we read, we'll begin in 1 Chronicles at chapter 11. 1 Chronicles and chapter 11. I started work on my 15th birthday. I earned the princely sum of £5 a week when I started work. I've been working for about 2 years, and I can't remember the circumstance, but I damaged my leg. I think it was playing football, actually. And I had to be off work for 5 or 6 weeks. And of course, I had no money coming in. So I was getting a bit hard up, really. Anyhow, my leg recovered with a bit of a physio, and I went back to work. I had a very pleasant surprise. The company secretary came with 5 or 6 wage packets. And she said, well, they were here waiting for you. All you had to do was come and collect them. And it was like, you know, a treasure. You know, 5 or 6 wage packets all at once. It was great. I think I was on about £7 a week then. So it wasn't big money, but it was in those days. All I had to do was come in and collect them. When you read a book like 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, there's a lot of treasure in them. All you have to do is read it to collect it. And that's what we're going to do tonight. I'm going to show you some of the wonders of these two chapters and some of the great challenges they bring. So 1 Chronicles, chapter 11, and first of all, we're going to start with those first 9 verses. Let me give you a little bit of background. If you really want to find out the real background of this, of course, you'll need to turn to 1 and 2 Samuel. But you'll remember that King Saul was the first king of Israel. He turned out not to be a very good king. He was a fleshly, worldly king. It was a king which the people had chosen, and God gave them what they wanted. But early in David's life, in his teenage years, Samuel came to David and anointed David, saying that when King Saul dies, you will be king in his place. And there would be a day when King Saul would be removed from the throne and David would sit upon the throne. Of course, in his later teenage days, David made that tremendous victory over Goliath. David would soon become the leader of King Saul's army. Still only a young man, perhaps in his early 20s, he went and led the army of King Saul. It all went terribly wrong. David returned from a victory over the Philistines, and the women sang, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Into King Saul's heart came a terrible jealousy and hatred towards David. And from that moment on, King Saul tried to kill David. And David had to run for his life. And for about the next 10 years, he was on the run from King Saul. Instead of living in the palace with the king, he lived in a cave called Cave Adullam, referred to as the hold in our reading. Instead of leading the king's army with all their thousands, 400 men gathered around David. It increased a bit later on to 600. But these men were the men that no one else wanted. Some of you can remember they were distress, in debt, and discontent. But David was captain over these men, and they were faithful to him and loyal to him. Many times King Saul came near to David, and you would have thought, humanly speaking, David would be killed. But wonderfully, his life was preserved. And at the age of 30, when King Saul had died, David became king. Not over all of Israel, just only over the tribe of Judah. And he reigned in Hebron for 7 years, just over one tribe of Judah. Now I'm ready for my title. And the title is this: The King Shall Reign. The King Shall Reign. I haven't got any one particular text because I'm going to refer to quite a few different texts in this wonderful part of scripture. So point number one, here we go. Enthrone the king. Enthrone the king. Now, if you look at chapter 11, notice what happens. Then all Israel gathered themselves to David, unto Hebron, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Notice how it means all Israel. That means all the tribes of Israel. If you just flick over to chapter 12 and verse 38, you'll see this referred to again. Verse 38, all the men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel and all the rest of also of Israel with one heart to make David king. So can you see this great gathering? All the tribes of Israel coming together and say, we want to make you king over the whole of the nation. We are united. We want to enthrone you as king. Now, there are three reasons they gave why they wanted to enthrone him as king. Verse one has the first answer. Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Now, I'm going to put these in my words, so when I come in a few moments to apply them, you'll understand. David, we want to enthrone you because you are one of us. You are one of us. You have descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You belong to one of the tribes of Israel. David, we want to enthrone you because you're one of us. The second reason they want to enthrone him is in verse 2 of chapter 11. Moreover, in time past, even when Saul was king, there was he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. What they're saying, you led the armies of King Saul and you brought victories. Shall we put it like this? David, you fought our battles for us. We want to enthrone you. So the first one was, you're one of us. Second one, David, you fought our battles for us. So we want to enthrone you. But there's a third reason that's found in verse 2 at the end. The Lord thy God said unto thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be ruler over all my people. If you notice in verse 3, that they anointed David king over Israel according to the word of the Lord by Samuel. And what they are saying is this: David, you are the Lord's anointed. David, God has appointed you to be king. We want to enthrone you. Now, what is the great theme of the Bible? Well, you know what it is. It's all about Christ. Whether it's the New Testament or the Old Testament, the great theme of Scripture is pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in the life of David, we have a picture, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, remember my three little points. Are you ready? David, you're one of us. Can we say reverently to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, though you are the second person of the Trinity, though you are the eternal Son of God, you became one of us. and you walked in our world for salvation. You didn't send an angel. You didn't send a prophet. You came your very self and took upon our flesh and bone and lived in our world. You're one of us. And of course, that's the wonder of the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail, incarnate deity, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his great humility and love for mankind, became one of us. And we say to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we love you. We want to enthrone you because you became one of us. Remember the second point? David, you fought our battles. Lord Jesus Christ, you fought our battles. We have been defeated by sin. We cannot get any righteousness because we are sinners. But you came and fought our battle against sin. You were tempted in all points like we are, and yet you overcame and you won the battle for us. And we are clothed in your glorious righteousness today. Satan deceived us and we fell from that wonderful creative state